carry stinkers, and we were the Scots stinkers. And the caravans were all along this wee bit of a road, you know, quite narrow. Now, we had an old pony at the time. Most of them had. There were no, never knew what a car was. Well, we knew of them, but we would never be able, as we thought, to own one. So we just had these horse-drawn caravans, you know, and we'd all horses, such as they were. And now, what we use the word tether. Now, the way to, this is one of the things that they say the travellers don't do, but we did this. We waited until it was pretty late at night, and the men all took their horses and put them in the nearest field for the sake of being off that narrow road and for to get something to eat, the grass. But we tethered them. That was a rope around their neck, a stake in the ground, and you have a long rope, you know, so that they could. Anyway, this particular night, I don't know who went lance down with the horse to put it in the hay for some graze, into the field for grazing. I don't know who did that, but in the early hours in the morning, well, there was no inside toilet, so Ali got out to do his necessaries. And when he looked about 20 yards from the caravan, our old horse was lying dead. It had got out of the field. Whether the stake pulled out of the ground or not, I don't know, but it got out and it knew to come towards the caravan. You know what I like? And there it was, all squashed out on the road. Now, what they call the policemen over there is the civic guards in Ireland, civic guards. And someone must have reported the thing on the way, you know, and they came out. And it was the mail van in the early morning that killed it. Discovered it was the mail van. Now, instead of us, I'll just give you a wee instance. Instead of us being getting into trouble for allowing our horses to wander or stray, they were heart sorry for us. Because we didn't have anything to pull our old caravan away. So anyway, there was three or four tinker men, Irish and Scots there, and they all said, what would they do with the remains that was lying on the road of the old horse? They asked if they would get permission to bury it on the side of the hedge or in the field, and the civic guard stood there. There was a whole load of them came out, about eight or nine of them, you know, thinking there had been a fight or something. And my husband, Ali, took off his jacket and the rest of the tinker men to go and dig a place for the horse. And he, well, I don't know if he was a sergeant, inspector, or what he was, but the head of the civic guards anyway said, you'll do nothing of the kind, he says. You have suffered a big enough loss by the loss of your pony. He made the civic guards take off their jackets, go and dig the hole and bury the old horse. Now, I don't know how it got around, but whether he got around anyway, that Alec was a piper, and we were the ones that owned the horse. Now, my Cathy was 3 weeks old, that's the girl that was born there. And he said to, one of the men said to Alec, you play the pipes? And he said, yes. Would you come up to the barracks? You know, the city guards barracks. He says, after all this is over. And Alec says, I'm not in a very good mood for piping today. He says, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't get moved out of here. Well, come to the barracks, he says, and we might be able to help. So Ollie went up, but they got him to play for a long time. They were pretty, you know, they were keen on the Scottish music. And now he says, the father, you know, that's the priest, you know, the father. He lived in a big house away, just maybe about half a mile from the old road where we were living. Now he says, we've been in touch with the father, and he's got an old horse, he says, an old horse down in the bog. And he says, I'm sure he'll be more than happy to let you have it. So Alex says, I don't like to approach him. You just go and do that, he said. And Alex did. And we got the horse from the priest out of the bog. So it just shows you the difference in the kindness of heart compared to that minister that I spoke about last night.
Do you think that the feeling towards the tinkers is different in Ireland than it is in Scotland?
Well, there's so many tinkers in Ireland, you don't know they are tinkers. They don't want to be known like the Scots people back home. You see all these groups like the Dubliners and the Furies and all of these singing groups that are really very popular. They're really all Irish tinkers. They confess that to us, because we have that, you know. And we have so much in common, even though we're in different countries. And then Felix Dorn, the Dorns were all, they were all tinkers and pearl fishers. because they all got the tricks of the trade, you know what I mean? So many in Ireland, Maggie Barry, Margaret Barry and them all. But she was a great woman when she went up on stage to do her concert. Now, if there's anyone there in the audience, now if you can't stand up there and listen to what I'm going to give you, you can just get the hell out of it because I'm an Irish tinker. And she said that, you know, she said that all the time. Just because she knew in places they weren't accepted either, any more than we are back home. But they all enjoyed her music and what she had to offer, you know. So that's just the way that things went.
I got a question for you about rituals. Did you have any kind of ceremony you might use when a child was born or when someone died?
No. We just thank God for having the baby, if it was alive and thrived. And we also have a person that died and suffered a lot, in a lot of years like my husband did. We thank God for giving them rest out of suffering and pain because they deserved it. That was about the only, we never really, because it's very hard to part with someone close and near to you, but still, if they suffer a long time and you know the suffering, that no doctor can cure. So that's the cure that Almighty gives us, relief from pain. So He is the doctor of all doctors. It's one way we put it in. Just a way of thinking. I know it may sound strange to you, Professor, because no one ever wishes their people to leave them and die. We don't. But if you know there's no cure, continual suffering, can't sleep at night, and pain all the time, doctors giving you jags and needles and that, just to help in a way, but the real doctor is the one above to give you relief from pain and sorrow. That's our belief without church doors or whatever. There's the man.
Well,
the moment
why don't you tell him about the black pepper?
Oh. In the time of the war, you know, everything was rationed back in Scotland, very, very strictly. In England, they got a lot more on the ration cards than we did up in Scotland. We were always short of something. And anyway, this couple, they were just common, ordinary, poor, working people, you know. And I think the man worked on the farm or something. But he was a man that was desperate for pepper, you know, pepper. And you couldn't get it for a lot of money. But anyway, they had friends abroad somewhere. I don't know if it was Canada or where it was, but this was in Scotland. This really happened. Believe me, when I tell you to believe me, it's true. And he was always thinking about when he cooked a meal, you know, he always wanted pepper. And it wasn't to be had. You couldn't even beg it from your next door neighbour, because they wouldn't part with it. But anyway, a wee parcel arrived from this some relatives abroad. And when the woman opened it, she says, "Oh my God," she says, "pepper. That aunt of mine must have been thinking about how much my husband liked pepper." So she took it out of the box and she put it in a wee pepper. And when he came home that night for his work, his meal was all laid out, and he looked, she didn't look on to him to see if he'd notice. "Didn't you tell me," says, "you got pepper? Where did you get that?" "Oh," she says, "I got that from my, was it aunt or something abroad?" My goodness, oh, he's lashing it on his food, you know. But they never thought of looking in the bottom of the box, because there was a wee note in it. His uncle had died, and they cremated him, and set the ashes to be buried in Scotland. Oh. And he put the ashes of his uncle on his... That's true! Honest! Because the cremation was burnt, you know, burnt with a cremation. And he's lashing it on, ages more. God knows to me the man loved her, no, but honestly, that happened up in one of the Glen houses called Glen Isla, when you take in that busk, you know, Glen Isla and Bonnie Glen Shee, and it was up Glen Isla. And oh, he was, I don't know if he enjoyed his meal there, but. And they read the note. "Where did you get it?" "Oh," she said, "she got it from an aunt or someone belonged to her." Look at the box, and here's the wee note at the bottom. "Sorry to let you know that your uncle passed away and we had him cremated. And as he loved Scotland so much, we'd like his ashes scattered somewhere." Well, he scattered on his knee. And that now, that's really no line or no carried story, honestly, that's the truth. It was in the local paper. I don't know what happened to the poor man. It was black pepper, you see.
Is the...
Is that it's time there?
No.
Well, he'll say no anyway, keep me here.
Well, yeah.
But no, it's not. That's true.
I have a question. Is modern technology...
You tell me what this is.
Is modern technology doing away with the tinkers?
Well, still do yet. Try to.
Do you think they'll succeed?
Not in their way of pushing us away. The only way they'll get rid of us is when we kick the bucket. You know what that means. Because I had a saying once when I did the radio ballad with Ewan McCall and Peggy Seeger. And, well, Alec and I was there, but I was the only one who took part in it. I did it in London with Charles Parker of the BBC. And at the whole end of the programme, what we did, talking about life and just something like I've been doing here, you know? And I said, but it doesn't even matter what they try, Ewan. I said, they'll never succeed. Because I said, there'll be tinkers here to doomsday in the afternoon. I tried to make it stretch as long as I could. We're only going to die in the morning to please them. We're going to hang on to the afternoon. So I said, there'll be tinkers here till doomsday in the afternoon. There still is. We are human. We get married or we get a boyfriend. We have family. They'll do the same. So... You can't stop human nature, can you?
Well, what about...
No comment.
What about getting married? Did you have some kind of priest
No,
or
I was legally
minister?
Married in church.
Uh-huh. Is that a common...
Event. But there was no such thing as marriage in Monkshire, I think. Not at all. You met someone you wanted as your wife. And you within yourself you did. And the girl knew she wanted you, the man for her husband. Now, as I told you how despised we were when it came to the religious side of life, no ministers accepted us. Nobody wanted that. Well, why the hell if you knew you wanted that person and they wanted you, should you ask someone that wouldn't hardly look at you on the road just because you go to him and say, I will? What did he know about our feelings towards each other? Go to somebody that would spit on the road when you pass. And just to make it legal, you would go and ask that man, could we do that? No chance.
That there was no like recording of births and recording of marriages that would be
registration,
yeah.
We would call that. Oh yes, all my mother's folk and all my folk were all registered,
mm-hmm.
and all baptized, apart from that minister that wouldn't have baptized my children,
yeah.
that day, great grandchildren. No, and there was very very little real separations. The tinker man was fond of a dram. You know what a dram is. And he might leave the wife for a few days, maybe a week, maybe a couple of weeks. But he always came back. Because he knew that the wife could provide for herself and the kids while he was away. Because the women did all the work anyway. The men just slept around the fire at the camps. And the women had to go out in all types of weather. And if she didn't bring back what he wanted, a dram, the price of tobacco as he smoked, I wouldn't like to tell you how she was knocked around. There was a lot of battered wives in these days too. No. So, oh no. I got married. I was married in Ireland. I was the first of my generation, and I mean generation, not only family. But I was married. And I was married in a church in Ballymoney, Trinity Church, Ballymoney, County Antrim, on the 17th of August, 1925. And going on 57 years, the 57th year of marriage when my husband died. So just you think the damage you can do in that time. I'm still in the job. Because I remember I told some of you that when my husband used to go out on the stage and play the pipes, you know, I would say, for God's sake, never marry a piper. Because if you can fill a pipe bag, you can fill any bag. And they do get around to that.
Why did you get married in church?
Pardon?
Why did you decide to get married in church?
Well, my mother never was married, now my folk. But anyway, now there's one word that is the most common word imaginable now. You can even hear kids back home use it. It was bastard. Well, if you were not married, your children were called bastard. And my mother, I was worried what happened. My mother said no. You just was always called your tinker bastard, you know. But when you were married, if anyone called your kids a bastard, you could have them fined. You could. We never went around to doing it because I've been a bastard all my days anyway, and the things I've done and said. But just to keep my children with the ways of the world and keep them as they would be recognised, I got legally married. in Balamoni County, Antrim. It was a Tinker's wedding. Drum a doo a doo a dee, drum a doo a daddy, drum a doo a doo a dee, and to the Tinker's wedding. And it goes on, I don't know what the rest of it is. But I got married over there.
What do you mean it was a Tinker's wedding? Tell us what happened at the wedding to make it a Tinker's wedding.
Well, nothing out of the ordinary
happened with us. Did you have a special celebration?
Some of the Tinkers, you know, they were going awful lengthway. I'll tell you one thing, it wasn't a lot of. Could have happened, you know, because regardless of what you are, you've got your own human instincts. There wasn't many, many women or lasses in my time were pregnant before they got the lamb. And there was no pill, no protection at that time. There maybe weren't long together until the thing happened, you know. But honestly, that could have happened, but unknown to my family and in the area where we lived, it never really did happen. That's the truth. Aye, that'll be it now. So, oh, I'm no what he sang, and I'm no what he leave, and I'm no what he bide, I like come back and see. Thank you.
Feel that the beginner's class should be different. I've had my orders from the students anyway, what I've got to do.
Excuse me, I just want to say that you look like a friend that I had 14 years ago who came from Egypt. Back when I first saw you, I thought you were that woman. And, she dropped me through the years. She decided she didn't want me for a friend. But I thought it was you. I mean, I thought it was her when I saw you the first time.
Yeah.
When she was born in Cairo, she became a nuclear physicist. And then a PhD in mathematics, and she had a mathematics department.
Was her name Cleopatra? Well, thank you. At least there's somebody else in the world looks like me. As a compliment. Thank you. Well, the students came to me last night and said, a few of them came and said, could you please not repeat what you do in the first, because it's only the beginners is first. But you see, I've never taught before, not teaching for a whole week. I've done workshops and whatnot. And I felt that people shouldn't be left out of balladry. I was going maybe a bit too deep with the beginners, you know? So I came to my senses after the students told me about it, and I said, it's a shame to put through the ones that is advanced, put them through the beginners thing. So I'm just going to sit here just going to sing ballads.
Oh, great.
Mind you, it's a wee bit early in the morning for me to sit here and sing ballads. Now, there are a couple of these ballads that I've thrown in this morning that I haven't even recorded. They're ballads that we keep to our cell type thing. There's one of them in the traditional vein. But it's not a traditional ballad, but it was on the First World War. And it was an old woman that stays about 15 miles from where I live. And she had three sons. I'm not going to tell you the story of it because it would spoil it. It would spoil the ballad for you. But this woman had three sons and they went away to the war. And this is the song she wrote for her three sons. And when I was a wee girl, I used to always make my mum sing this. But the tears, you know, it was just unbelievable because I felt what this old woman felt. And anybody who's got any sense of ballads at all, it does tear at your heart because it's a real, true story and it's a war one. There's a lot of Scottish words in it, but I don't think if there's any Scottish words that you don't understand, please tell me at the end and I'll... But it spoils the song if you have to stop there and explain, because I want you to follow the story of the song. It just shows you, like many, many mothers, this is just one particular woman, what she had went through during the First World War, that many, many mothers went through the exact same as she did, but she put it in song. And I think it's, I've never ever sung it. I think I knew Hamish Henderson about 10 years, 15 years before I ever sung it to him. So yous are privileged, only known you for about a week. Now it starts off, I'm a canty old wife, that means she's a nice old lady. And she's coming towards the end of her life, and she's looking back on her life, what she has done, and this is the sad thing that happened in her life, a tragedy. I'm a canty old wife, near the close of lifespan, and it's many's a long year since I lost my good man. And my three bonny laddies, sae gallant and brave, they're a' sleeping sound in yon far distant grave. Noo fae bairns tae manhood, I reared them wi' care, but the want o' their father, the struggle was sair. And when war was declared, and we fought wi' the Huns, right proud was I then, oh, my three gallant sons. For proudly and blithely they answered the call, brave, stalwart and kilted, they are gied awa'. And though at the pertin my heart nearly brak, but I had nae the wish to keep in o' them back. For I kent as I watched them, as far as I could see, that they would a' be heroes for Scotland and me. So I slipped awa'n to my ain fireside, and I prayed at the Lord and his mercy would guide and guard my dear laddie through war's deadly strife, that he and his mercy would spare their young lives. Now a letter fae Donal come hame the next week, and I smiled away the tears running down o'er my cheek. I keep up your heart, mother, we will soon see it through, for you ken every jock has a mother like you. Who expects that their sons will do mair than his part, we'll soon be him, mother, I keep up your heart. Now I try to be cheery, though oft I was way, and the time slipped by till a cold snowy day, and my mind wi' an evil foreboding was filled, for the post brought me word that my Donal was killed. Now Donal was the youngest, and sair was the blow, till my fu' cup o' sorrow had to overflow. For Sandy was slain ere the owl year had set, and Geordie was missing, he's aye missing yet. Sarah, Sarah was my heart, but the time slipped past, till warfare was ended and peace came at last. And a mother is o' heroes, man just be as brave. So I dried up my tears and rejoiced away the lave. Oh, but new as I sit, with a tear in my ee, and I think on my laddies I never can see. Wha for a king and for a country, gee up their young lives, but I'm proud o' my heroes as Scottish old wives. That's
I just have a couple of questions about
you're right.
Do you know the name of the woman that wrote that? Then just a few words I didn't understand. I think this is what I thought I heard. Ere all the gear was set. Something, one of the second son died.
The old year had set.
Oh.
The old year was nearly finished and they were coming into the new year, like Hogmanay.
Mm-hmm.
The old year had set.
And there's another phrase, something about when peace was finally declared, she rejoiced with the lave.
She rejoiced with the rest of the people that could welcome their people back from the army that wasn't killed. I rejoiced with the lave. That was the lave, was the people that was
the
rejoicing.
Live,
yeah, the live ones.
Live.
Here's one. It's the same as ballads all over. It's a love ballad about this guy going away to war. And he comes back and he meets his girlfriend. But you know, in the wars long ago, men went away, but they didn't come back the same men. They come back changed. War had done so much to them that they had changed. So he came back and he went to the meeting place where he used to meet his girl, and she didn't know him. So he said to himself, I'm going to chat her up and see if she's been true to me while I was away. And of course, 90% out of the 100% that says, I want nothing to do with you, I'm waiting for my own boyfriend coming back from war. When he discovers that she's been true to him, he takes out a symbol, shows it to her, and she knows then that this is her boyfriend back. So this is one that I got from a cousin of mine. It's an Aberdeenshire ballad, and it's of that vein, you know, that this is the theme of what it's about. And because I object to my song's names and words being changed as well. So the way I got it from her was Frederick Malachree. So maybe that was the name of the man that owned the farm. I don't know. But it was the guy Frederick Malachree of Fair Drumellachie. It's quite reasonable, it could possibly be. But you must excuse me, because I've got a frog in my throat this morning and I can't reach that high notes. As I say, it's too early in the morning for me. I'm used to singing about midnight on. But,
you should come to the ice house.
I've been to the ice house and I've been singing in the ice house.
Machine,
the only thing that's wrong with the ice house, you didn't get your wee snow potty in Newscot, what is it? Mountain Dew?
Bright
lightning. Aye, somehow, if I had that would clear everything, clear all my tubes, it would clear me, I suppose.
We ought to take on a project and go out in the mountains
The potty would kill that frog that I have there, you see.
You want some tea, yes.
Please, I could do with a hot drink or something.
Coming right up.
Lovely. "'Twas on a cold November night when fruits and flowers were gone. One evening as I wandered forth along the banks of Don, I overheard a fair maid and sweet and low sang she, 'My love is far away, sunny ha, and Frederick Malachree.' Says I, 'My pretty fair maid, why walk you here alone, lamenting for some absent one upon the banks of Don? Come tell the reason, know your grief, come tell it all to me.' But aye she sighed for a sunny ha and Frederick Malachree. Says I, 'My pretty fair maid, gie to me your hand, for on the bonny banks of Dee I hae but house and land, and I'll freely gie the ma to thee if you will be my bride, and forsaken yon bonny laddie that lives upon Don's side.' 'Young man,' said she, 'your offer's fair, but that I must deny. For on the bonny banks of Dee I have to live and die. For 7 long years since he left me, another 7 I'll wait on he. But he is far away, sunny ha, and Frederick Malachree.' Now I turned mysel recht roon aboot and meant to walk awa'. That's off his Scots dubbin. 'And turning roon behind me, I heard her sobbing say, if my young man was here this night, I'd swear that that was he. But he is far away, sunny ha, and Frederick Malachree.'" Now, I'm not going to sing the last bit of it because it's the same as another one I'm going to sing. It's just he comes round and says, "Well, I am your true love. Here is a symbol, a token that you gave to me when I went away, and so they lived happily ever after." Now, there's another version of that particular song, but it doesn't come from Aberdeen. It comes from Glencoe, the McDonalds of Glencoe. You must have heard of the McDonalds of Glencoe, the slaughter of the battle where the English had invaded the Scots sleeping at night in their bed and murdered them all, men, women and children. Well, this is one about Glencoe, if I can remember the start, and it's of the same vein. This was my late husband's favourite song. He always made me sing this one. "As I went out walking one morning in June to view the fine spots and the meadows in bloom," that's the wrong song, that's Maggie Barry's song, ain't it? Oh, I got mixed up because the both songs start as I walk out, you know. Nope, it's gone. I'll sing that later, I'll get on to another one. I'll go to Ireland now because, as I said before, my father and mother was married in Ireland. My father travelled Ireland for 17 years with the Travellers of Ireland. So it's going to be that the Irish songs and ballads are going to seep into our culture. So I'll sing 50% of the ballads I sing is Irish anyway. And I've been very good this time because I haven't thrown an Irish ballad in because it's Scottish week and I would have felt guilty, you know. But I think I could do it with you. The Banks of the Lee. Did Mum sing that? It's only a short one.
Mary on the Banks of the Lee.
Banks of the Lee. She hasn't sung that one. Well, it's got a chorus. Please join in the chorus. Well, then my mind's a blank as well. Is that terrible? I've forgotten the start of that as well. I think it's we use good singers there, but
Sheila, if you're going to sing Irish, do you know On Carrick Down?
Carrick Fergus, no.
Or are nothing. That's the first line. Well, then do you know Down the Old Bald Road?
Okay. See, the Irish ballads that I know has all got cobwebs on them.
Well, yeah. these are pretty old too, but
I'm coming through the rye.
I did all that type this morning in the beginner's class, you know.
Oh, okay.
This is a heavier thing.
I was taught
thing.
That in kindergarten by somebody.
Yeah.
Were you going to sing When True Lovers Meet?
Aye.
Is that the one?
That's
you
it.
To
That's
all
the
right.
start, yeah. When two lovers meet down beneath a green bower, when two lovers meet down beneath a green tree, there Mary, lovely Mary, exclaimed unto her darling, "You have stolen my poor heart on the banks o' the Lee. Every bush and every bower, every wild Irish flower will remind me of my Mary.
Here's the tea.
Never go out too late on the moorlands, my Mary. Never go out too late on the moorlands for me. But little was her notion as we parted on the ocean. We were parting forever on the banks of the Lee. Every bush and every bower, every wild Irish flower will remind me of my Mary on the banks of the Lee. I will pluck for her some roses, some wild Irish roses. I will pluck for her some roses, the finest ever grew, and I'll place them on the grave of my true lover Mary, in that little silent churchyard where she sleeps neath the dew. Every bush Small and heavy. And I've got a croak in my throat. Yeah. It tastes like cascara. It's good and wet and hot in here.
They have neither cream or whiskey to put in.
So no, it's went all right.
Sheila, I heard an old mountain man who died just last September. He had an Irish mother, and she sang a lot of things to him. And he sang one song that I've never heard anybody else sing until Eugene O'Donnell came here, and he played it. He didn't sing it. Did you ever hear or do you know the song Gentle Annie?
Gentle Annie. Maybe not with that.
She wouldn't know it by that name.
Well, now, I'll tell you what they called it. When he played it, it was recorded on one of his records. It was something like, it was in the Gaelic, and it was something like, "I'll no see you anymore, my darling." It was, she was leaving, or he was leaving or something to go to Mary. It was, I think it's a Galway. I'm not sure.
Wait a minute, I have a version of a song like that in Irish.
It's so pretty. It's the prettiest tune.
There's one that's you sing in Irish?
No, the Gaelic.
Well,
no, but the story, I mean.
Words. I don't know.
It's the story.
I think he did write the American words, but it's
the same tune?
Irish tune, yeah.
He ripped off the tune.
That's right, exactly.
But it's not
called Gentle Annie in Irish.
That's right, and that's why I could never find it, because I've asked for it before. That's the gist of it. It has an Irish title, I mean a Gaelic title. I don't know
any of the Irish Gaelic songs though.
Yeah, okay.
But here's one in the same vein as that.
Okay.
As I roved out one evening, so early as I strayed, 'twas in the merry month of June, and a bird sang in each and the sun had shone melodiously and decked all in her pride with the primroses and the daisies down by Blackwater side. I had not walked more than a mile when there a pair I spied. Two lovers walked as they did talk down by Blackwater side. He entwined his arms around her waist, and this to her he said, "'Tis in America I'll prove true to my lovely Irish maid." She's trying to persuade him not to go. When you go to America and those Yankee maids you'll see, if they be fair and handsome there, you'll forget your love for me. You'll forget all your vows and your promises just unto me you've made. So stay at home and do not roam from your lovely Irish maid. When I go to America and those Yankee maids I'll see, if they be fair and handsome there, they'll remind me just on thee. For there's not a flower grows in yon bower, in yon mountain, valley, or shade, but will mirror mind on you behind my lovely Irish maid. But many's the lad has left his home, bound for a foreign shore. They have left their wives and their own sweethearts, their face to see no more. While sailing o'er the wide Atlantic, in the sea their body was laid. So stay at home and do not roam from your lovely Irish maid. Now to reflect that you are alone, I will never cross the tide. And if it be with your own consent, sure I'll make you my bride. And we'll spend our days in happiness down by Blackwater side. So she won. He didn't go.
I have a little question about the style of your singing. I noticed in some of the songs you might put in a little extra syllable between words.
I'm glad you brought that.
Duh, Bauer, you know, I can't do it, but to give it a little extra punch or something.
It's that. Now I'm glad you brought that point up, because that comes back to the first class I had here. That is putting a bit of the cognac in. You have got to do this. If you just sing a song as it is, but you put an extra word in there, throw an extra word in, it gives the cognac. It's putting a bit of the cognac into it.
I wish I knew what that translates to.
The cognac. The cognac, I don't know. Probably yous will understand what I mean. It's just where the Scottish travelling people has a word for the feeling. You know, if you've got it's a feeling, it's putting your soul into that song, and it gets so thick at times you could put your hand out and feel it when it's coming for here, not for here. So that is, we call that is the cognac. It's not just singing, you can put it into piping, you can put it into. Now, Ian, you must recognise the difference in Ian fiddling to other folk fiddling. Because he's got the cognac.
How do you spell it again?
C-O-N-Y-I-C-H. The cognac.
Do you sing Banks of the Sweet Dundee?
I've never heard that expression before. I understand it.
You could put it in dancing as well.
Sure you do.
You put your whole heart into it. And that is the traveller word for it, is the cognac. Because a good singer can stand up there and sing a song, but you didn't pay attention. A poor singer can come along and sing that exact same song and put a cognac into it, and you take notice. You see, in the folk scene back home, as I said the first time, it's not what the voice is like in the folk scene in Scotland. It's what you can put into a song. They don't go by the voice in Scotland. Anybody that can speak can sing. It's not the singer, it's the song that person sings, and how that person can transport that song to make an audience sit up and take notice. That's the way I feel anyway. Because there's lots of songs that I haven't recognised. They've always been on the folk scene, but this one particular person comes along and sings it, and it brings new light to it. You're seeing that song for the first time. No?
That's why Seamus Innes, when he talked about the Irish pipes, somebody asked him how you learn to play it, or how do you learn to play it. First you got to know the language, and then you have to learn the technique, and then you have to have the truckly howl.
That's it.
And that's what
you've got to have the cognac before you put it in.
What was that term?
Well, I can't spell it or anything. I'm not
just
sure I'm saying
say
it right.
It.
Okay.
And you have the whole lot except to keep on practicing.
Truckly howl?
I didn't know you were back there. I'd have asked you to say it. And you can tell the difference in those people and the others, can't you? Like she said.
Peg, is he going to give him a call?
Yeah, that's the same, maybe. Isabella. she sends it first and then after it, and he takes it to the first town and buys it.
Yeah. I don't
know
that one.
Yeah.
I
wasn't sure.
Right.
I really don't want to say that, you know.
Yeah. There's a time's up. I'm hungry and I want my food. But seeing we're on this vein, there's just one wee other one I would like to sing to you that's an Irish one about the boy coming over here. Now that first one there was where the girl finally persuaded the boy not to go. But this one, the boy did go, but the girl was so lonely for him, brokenhearted, that she left and came over looking for him to America. So it's just a wee short one, it's not a slow one, so I just would like just to throw in, seeing that we're on this thing. It was in Londonderry, in that city of note and fame, that first my bonny wee Irish boy a-courtin' me he came. He told me pleasant stories and said his bride I'd be, but the face of my bonny wee Irish boy I'm afraid I ne'er will see. I booked my passage to New York, and in it there I have been, but the face of my bonny wee Irish boy is nowhere to be seen. I've searched New York and Boston, I've searched them o'er and o'er, but the face of my bonny wee Irish boy I'm afraid I will see no more. Last night as I lay sleeping sure, I dreamt a very strange dream. I dreamt I was in old Ireland, down by a bubbling stream, when a heavy knock came to my door, and my heart ne'er felt more joy, for I fell into the arms of my bonny wee Irish boy. So now that we are married, he is going no more to sea. I own I love him dearly, and I know that he loves me. Our first wee son was called for him, our heart's delight and joy. He's the picture of his daddy, he's my bonny wee Irish boy. And that's it. I hope you remember about the wee essay for Friday morning. The essay that you have to write for Friday morning.
Sure.
Yes, I sure did.
I have my intro already.
It's just, you can explain it. It's just a small essay just to fill in what you thought about this week, if you've learned anything, what you think about the Scottish
traditional. You're going to be the professor. They're going to do the homework.
They're going to do the homework.
Figure out how to get there.